It is indeed, mate. It's just it's what it is. A carry on from what was 2017, and I mean, along with that terrible 82-0 defeat at Armagh last week in the Ulster League, I mean I'm going to say I wasn't surprised. I presume that game didn't mean so much, but you know, to lose out to a team in the same division by 71 points to nil, you know, a team that only got promotion last year, Rennie, and they have come on leaps and bounds, and they now find themselves in second position. And you know, they played before Christmas, and it was quite competitive for 15-20 minutes of that game, and eventually in the second half, as has been the case in all Derry's matches, the opposition won out. But I'd have to be honest, Miles, and after I said yesterday on my final report, yesterday was the first time this season that I honestly could say that I didn't see any part of the game of the 80 minutes where Derry really got any cohesive movement going at any time. They never threatened the Rennie line. The line-out was a shambles. They were pushed all over the park in the scrums. And when they did get a penalty, they didn't really want to kick the touch because Rennie's line-out was so strong. On three or four occasions, a forward would have taken a tap penalty and gone, but he was on his own. Nobody seemed to know what was going on. And really, it was a very disorganised performance. And really, just were a class apart. That's all you could say. It started in the first minute. Tommy O'Hagan, their young prop, who's in the Ulster Academy, he made a blind run up the middle. Two or three minutes later, they forced a 5-metre scrum, and Jody McMurray, their number 8, got the first of four tries that he had himself.
But overall, Alec, in relation to City of Derry, can you see any way out now of the situation that they're in? Is it automatic you know, relegation in the All-Ireland League?
Well, Miles, the thing is too that while we last spoke, as you know, they couldn't field a team against Dungannon, and at that stage before Christmas, the IRFU or the AIL hadn't made a decision. But I notice now, if you look up the league tables, you'll see Dungannon were actually given an extra point. They have now got 5 points from that game. Derry were deducted 5 points, so at this moment in time, Derry don't have any points at all. Harlequins have 5 points, but I can see Harlequins' results getting better. I notice they have recruited a couple of players, but at this moment in time, you'd have to say yes, because Derry have no points. Harlequins have 5 points with two games in hand. Sunday's Wells have 11 points. But you know, those 11 points, that means three victories and Sunday's Wells not winning anything. And you'd have to say at this moment in time, if it's not automatic relegation from Derry, it's certainly going to be a playoff.
It certainly is. Okay, let's look at Oma beaten by Bangor. That's an AIL 2C. 19-5. Oma, I suppose, holding their own, if not being spectacular.
Well, I mean, they had a very good match at Mellon Park before Christmas when it was 6-6. And at that game yesterday, it was 14-0, and then Oma came back with a try. And when I heard that score, Kenny gave it out, I thought maybe they'd have come back further, but Oma got a third score. But in the league at the moment, I mean, Bangor's lying fourth, Oma's lying fifth, but they both have 28 points, which, you know, from Oma's point of view, 28 points is quite a, after 11 games, they'll be very, very happy about that. There's no fears of relegation or anything, and certainly, you know, they still have games at home. But Bangor, of course, just that wee bit more experience, but I mean, 19-5 is not all that bad. I mean, they had a very good result in the last Saturday of the last year, whenever they in the Ulster League, when they beat Dungannon by 22 points to 15, Oma. So they'll have been pleased with that one. So they do show at times that they're certainly capable, and they have really acquitted themselves very, very well, stepping up as they have from junior rugby straight up this year. And as I say, they'll be very happy where they are at the moment, Miles.
Yeah, and we've back to City of Derry again in the Towns Cup round one. City of Derry, as a presumer to their seconds, beaten by Strabane by 50 points to nil, so it would suggest that there's not a great crop of players coming through.
No, I mean I was expecting maybe not as big a score as that, but I mean Strabane are riding high at the moment and Championship 3. Paul O'Kane, their coach now in the second season, they've got a very, very good scrummage and pack. You know, they've got a good second 15 as well, but I mean, Derry's second 15, I think it shows just they don't have the depth and strength. But, you know, for a Strabán side to put 50 points in Derry seconds and for Rainey to put 71 points in the first, you know, it does mean that there's going to be a lot of soul searching very, very quickly have to be done at Judges Road. Also the Towns Cup as well, Miles. Limmer Valley had a good result. They beat Banbridge by 34 points to 26. Now, that would be Banbridge seconds, but nevertheless, Banbridge first are in Division 1B. So that was a good result. I noticed it was a double header, which means that they normally would play a second 15 in what they call the conference. So they'll be pleased with that one in a sense of two victories in one. And they have shown a vast improvement since mid-October, Limmer Valley. So they'll be hoping to build on that one. And the only other scores that I have, Miles, in the Rugby Regional West, which was the only other matches taking place, was that Donegal Town beat Ballyshannon by 24 points to 22 and really beat Enniskillen by 31 points to 4.
Okay, and let's turn our attention briefly to the Rugby Pro 14. Leinster, much too strong for Ulster. Ulster going through a very difficult period.
Mate, it was embarrassing to watch, but I mean, I've been saying to you all along, the clinical finishing of Leinster has to be seen to be believed. You know, they really do. I mean, and I suppose the highlight was that charge from Andrew Porter, the prop from the 22. I mean, it would warm your heart to see a big lad like that there just punching boys out of the road, have the skill level to offload at the right time. And, you know, from a scoring position about 15 metres from the line, all of a sudden, Ulster found themselves a try down. They had an opportunity, 12-0, had Stockdale taken the interception. Mm. Pardon me.
Yeah.
Or had they got over the line just before half-time when they had a lot of pressure near the Leinster line, then maybe. But that's what's wrong. And I noticed today that Kiss again has come under a lot of criticism, and rightly so. Because if you take those three inter-pros, Miles, I was away, but I did see, I watched the Connacht game. The Connacht, the Munster game and the Leinster game, the second half against Munster, you could say that was Ulster's best part. For the other five halves of those matches, they really didn't count. And we're in times because La Rochelle, I'll be doing that next Sunday next Saturday from the Kingspan, and hopefully I'll have a bit more good news to say on that one. The other one, Munster, I watched a game last night. Munster just, Connacht were in the game at 10-6 at half-time, and again, Munster's finishing, and that's the thing that I noticed about Leinster and Munster. They are clinical. They get a half chance. The players are there and all the rest of it. What Ulster used to do a couple of years ago, these teams now are doing. But however, I mean, they have a chance next week against La Rochelle, and as you know, in the Champions Cup. And just quickly on that one, Miles, Ulster are second in that pool one. If they can get anything from La Rochelle with loss to come, who knows? Leinster sailing along with 18 points. They're top of the league. They're home to Glasgow next week. And Munster, who are also top in pool four, they're away to Racing Metro. And in the Challenge Cup, Connacht sailing along very nicely with 19 points. They top that one. They play Worcester, and that'll probably be the last time that Donoghue Callaghan will play against any Irish province, because at the end of the season, a mere 40-year-old, I think he's hanging the boots up. What a fantastic career. And watching him playing in the Premiership, he still shows the same enthusiasm as he did for Ireland and Munster.
Yeah, he's had a fantastic career. I think he's 38, coming to 39. And to be playing at that level with so many injuries, he doesn't seem to get injured at all.
No, and it's not that you could say when he played that he didn't put himself about. He wasn't somebody that stood looking at rocks and walls. He was in there hitting away as hard as he could, and he's had a tremendous career. And I suppose we should also say Peter Stringer, maybe not yet finished, but his 6-month contract is up at the moment. And but I suppose he'll be happy enough. He's nearly 40, so he's not worried too much. The only thing I find sad about Peter Stringer, Miles, is that for a player that gave Ireland such a great, great service, he was one cap short of 100, 99 caps, and it would have been lovely to see him join Best and O'Driscoll and those guys on 100 caps, you know. But unfortunately, I suppose if you were to say to Peter Stringer, what's the highlight of your career, he wouldn't worry about 99 caps. I happen to be in the Millennium Stadium that day whenever he scored the winning try for Munster to lift the first Heineken Cup, and I'm sure he against Bea Ritz, and I'm sure that would be the highlight of what has been a fantastic career.
I'm sure it has. And just one thing, I'm going to go back to Leinster, who won all three interprovincial games over the Christmas period with virtually three different teams, but they've a new full back, as you probably saw there, scoring a couple of tries, Jordan Larmour. He seems a very, very exciting player.
Well, funny, Miles, you must have been reading. I was going down the list there. I've actually on my notes here. I have Jordan Larmour and Fergus McFadden scoring two tries each. This guy Larmour hit the scene just at the beginning of the season, and if you remember back, Miles, he scored in the first match that Ulster played Leinster up at Ravenhill. He scored an absolutely cracking try from the halfway line when he got the ball. He just left and right, and the feet that this boy's got. I tell you, Joe Smith has got to be looking at him very quickly. You have to think, maybe looking around at the moment, that Rob Kearney will probably get the nod against France. But I have a sneaking suspicion against Italy, and that might be the game. Maybe yet Larmour might get an opportunity, because talent like that has to be used. And, you know, he makes the game look simple, and he's physically big enough and the rest. And it's going to be interesting when the Six Nations kicks off. Of course, as we know, Ireland have the hardest if they go to France in the first game. But this boy Larmour certainly might as well be in the panel. And the way he's playing at the moment, it's absolutely fantastic. And in fact, some of the talent at Leinster have at the moment is really embarrassing. And I mean that in the best possible way. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of young players. As I said, it made my heart warm when I saw young Andre Porter making that charging run of 40, 50 metres. It just shows you the difference now. And when you look at him and you look at Tadhg Furlong, I mean, those two boys and Jack McGrath, those three boys could be playing with Leinster, playing for Ireland for the next 10 years.
They certainly could, if injuries permit, and hopefully that they will be able to be okay. I think Furlong has got a concussion, and he may be out for a game or two. Well, it depends on the HIA and I suppose the protocol to get back again. But I think
he got the arm injury in the first half,
yes,
and then he went off. And I don't think, well, it just depends. You know, I would doubt if he'll play against Glasgow next week, because they can't take a chance, Miles, of course, with the Six Nations, because after the two Champions Cup games the next week on the following weekend, then all the Ireland players that Joe Smith went, they're virtually going into camp then for about 6 weeks for the Six Nations.